Shall we read, please, in the Epistle to the Ephesians? The Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2, and verse 11. Wherefore, remember, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called on circumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. The Epistle to the Romans, please. The Epistle to the Romans in chapter 3, and reading at verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Now finally, please, in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now the Lord bless to us the reading of his word. Now in thinking about the gospel tonight, there are three expressions in these scriptures that we have read together that I want to speak about and to speak simply as the gospel would demand. I want you to notice that in the Epistle to the Ephesians chapter 2, we have the sinner's state. The Spirit of God says that at that time ye were without God. Then you'll notice that in the Epistle to the Romans and chapter 3, we have the sinner's silence, that every mouth might be stopped, and the whole world become subject to the judgment of God. And then you'll notice that you have the sinner's standing in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the Spirit of God entreats that we might be reconciled to God. So in the preaching of the gospel, we have got to do with God. After all, in the simplicity of the message, John has stated it in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now as Paul wrote to these Ephesians, he took them back to the past of their life. And my friend, I tell you, if you're saved tonight, there's one thing that you'll always be unable to appreciate. You'll always be unable to appreciate going back to the past of your life. You know that's something that marks a person that is rejoicing in God's salvation. Every time they think about the great fact that they're saved and their sins are forgiven, they love to look back. To look back to the hole of the pit from which they had been digged. And to realize that at that time they were without Christ and without God and without a hope in the world. And dear soul, that's a good way to gauge your condition tonight. For my friend, I tell you, if you're saved tonight, there's one thing you'll remember. You'll remember what you were before God saved you. Here he's writing to people, and they were drenched in their sin, and now rejoicing in the knowledge of their sins forgiven. And he's taken them back to their past. And he says, at that time, ye were without God, and without Christ, and without a hope in the world. and dear soul tonight in the meeting, if you're not saved, that is an apt description of your condition just now in this gospel meeting. You're without hope, and you're without Christ, because you're without God. Without God, without Christ, and without a hope in the world. You see, my friend, it's an important thing to see that it's only an intimate relationship with Christ that can bring you to God. And if He brings you to God, then thank God there's hope in the future. You see how intimately they're linked together. Without God, without Christ, and without a hope in the world. Now, my friend, I love to look back. I never preach the gospel without taking a look back. Because at that time, says the Spirit of God, ye were without God, without Christ, and without a hope in the world. And I remember when that's exactly the condition I was in before God saved me. I had no relationship with God. And I certainly never knew anything about trusting Christ. And because of that, I had no hope for the future. Am I speaking to someone tonight, my friend, and you have no hope for the future? You know, sometimes we have gone in to see people in the hospital. And do you know, they were able to tell us, perhaps quietly, some with tears, that they had no hope. Now, they weren't speaking about their salvation. They were speaking about their future. They were speaking about their prospect. The medical evidence was so clear that there was no possibility of ever any recovery. There were without hope. My friend, it's a dismal business to be without hope. And I want to tell you, far worse to be without hope spiritually. That is to be facing an unknown future. And yet, my friend, it's so clear what your future may be if you miss Christ. So tonight, you're without hope. That means you have no prospect of heaven. No possibility of being there. We sometimes sing, there is a city bright. Closed are its gates to sin. Not that defileth. Not that defileth shall ever enter in. Paul says at that time. Can you look back tonight, dear soul, to that time? Do you appreciate the fact that there was the time when you had no relationship with God? Even though, my friend, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, He says at that time. But do you notice how He changes the language? But now, ye who once were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Dear soul, you'll never get saved until you realize your true state. Am I speaking to someone tonight? And that has never been born in upon your soul. You know, my friend, we have spoken to people, and they say they would like to be saved. But when we talked to them, we found out they had absolutely no idea of their standing before God. They little realized their true state. My friend, how well Paul describes it. How simple, yet how solemn, without God. Without God. No relationship at all with God. And without Christ, that means there never has been a time in the experience when I fled for refuge to trust the Lord Jesus. They were without Christ, and because of that, they were without a hope in the world. My friend, I care not what your future may hold politically, or your future may hold financially. I'm not really interested in that tonight. We men are really interested in what the future holds for you for eternity. Now, if I were to tell you about my future, do you know, it never was as bright as it is just now. My future never was as bright as it has been this Lord's day. Because, my friend, I have realized for years my sins are forgiven and I'll never perish. And I remember when it happened. We used to sing in our simplicity, I was there when it happened, and I ought to know. In a little home yonder in the north of Ireland, my friend, in all my desperate need and sin, I said, Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul. Get me lost and helpless, thou canst make me whole. Whom have I in heaven or in earth like thee? Thou hast died for sinners, therefore, Lord, for me. And do you know what happened? My friend, that very moment of simple faith in the man who died for me, I was in Christ, and thank God, I was brought into vital relationship with God. It's a wonderful thing. And I tell you, it gets sweeter as the days go by. And when we men say that are saved, that our prospect never was as bright as it is just now, because I tell you, we're waiting at any moment expectantly for the man who died for us upon the cross to come to the air and take us home to be with him into that bright glory. My friend, that's my hope tonight. You know, people are worrying about the future. I haven't a worry in my head. People are worrying about the political situation. It doesn't really matter the crack of your fingers to me, because, my friend, it will never make a dent in my hope. It will never dim the prospect that I'm traveling home to the glory. Now, what about you tonight? What about you, beloved friend in the meeting? Do you know your sins forgiven? Have you had that moment in your experience when you found out that your standing was such that you could never be in heaven? And I want to tell you this, my friend. If you die in your sins, the Lord Jesus said this: ye shall die in your sins, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. My friend, he said, ye cannot come. That at that time, ye were without Christ, without God, and without a hope in the world. What's your relationship tonight to God? That, my friend, depends on your whole eternity of bliss or woe. What is your relationship with God? Can you go back to a time when you were awakened, my friend, to see your need? That you really were without God. And you never had trusted His Son. And because of that, you haven't a hope in the world of being in heaven. The future has nothing, my friend, but foreboding for you. There's no bright prospect lies ahead, simply because you're bereft of the Savior, and tonight you're still in your sin. Oh, I tell you, how oftentimes we used to say, there is a city bright, closed are its gates to sin, not that defileth shall ever enter in. Oh, dear soul tonight, one sin would keep you out of heaven, and the Word of God says the very thought of foolishness is sin. And how people can imagine for one moment that they could ever stand in that celestial city where holiness shines bright, where sin's never allowed to enter. And my friend, I want to tell you, God made so sure that He would fill heaven with souls that would sing about the Savior, that He sent His own beloved Son to Calvary, and yonder in the place called Calvary, they bled and died, He bled and died, that they might be saved. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. It's a wonderful thing to realize, yes, at that time, how well we remember, at that time, we were without God, and without Christ, and without a hope in the world. Tell me tonight, is that your position? You say, preacher, I'm not sure. Not sure? My friend, listen. You can be as sure of that as the fact you're sitting in the seat tonight. Tell me, was there ever a time in your experience that you found out that you were lost and gone down to hell? I remember a dear lady, Mr. Ronald, and I spoke to one night. And my friend, she seemed to be interested. And she thought, why, sure, I would love to be saved. And we ask her this: was there ever a time you found out that you were without Christ and you were going down to hell? Why, she threw up her hands. She said, man, I never was as bad as that. Well, my friend, if you never find out you're just as bad as that, you'll never get saved.
Never get saved.
Because I want to tell you, whether you believe it or not, if you're not saved, you're just as bad as that. Without Christ, without God, and without a hope in the world. Oh, I tell you, people speak about the future in the sense of this. We speak to them at times.
I met a man when we were walking with my good brother, Mr. Graham, the other day. And I think he was in a store with his wife, which would be normal on holidays. And this man came out and he began to talk to me. And you know, he didn't know me at all. But my, he started right in, and there was nothing right, and the government was not right, and they were destroying the labour movement. And I listened to this dear man, I thought to myself, my dear man, there you are, and your condition's really hopeless. Really hopeless. And here I was with all the things he was talking about, it didn't cause me any concern, because I was rejoicing in God's salvation. Oh, I said to him, listen, dear man, there's only one man can change the situation, and that's the man that they put upon the cross. And if only they knew the man that died upon the cross, I want to tell you, there's not a thing that would happen in the world that ever dampen their enthusiasm or ever blind them to the prospect that they're traveling home to the glory. All those things never give me any concern, for listen, tomorrow I might be in heaven. You believe that? I believe that with all my soul. Tomorrow I can be in the glory. So you see, all that kind of business doesn't cause me any worry at all, because I have my hope confident in the man who died for me upon the cross. Oh yes, I remember. Just a little over 16, I made the way home about a mile from where I could see it, to tell my father and mother that I'd trusted Christ and my sins were forgiven. Tell you, it was a very disinterested audience. Thank God I lived to see them saved, and my dad left for the glory just a couple of months ago. He's there now. There now, all his troubles are over, and he has gone to that land that's fair than day. My friend, tell me, have you any hope of being there? Because you'll soon be going to eternity, and I don't know where you're going. You'll soon be in eternity. And if you don't know the Savior, I want to assure you of this, of all the confidence and authority of the Word of God. If you die without my Savior, you may never reach the glory. Without God, that's the sinner's state. But you say, how does a person get saved? Well, I tell you. I read to you in the Epistle to the Romans that every move might be stopped and the whole world become guilty. It's a real thing, my friend. These days, you know, most of the people who stand in the prisoner's dock, you know the last thing they want to do? The last thing they want to do is to pronounce one word. They'll get lawyers, the best in the country. They'll try every move, my friend. They'll try everything in the book. Prevent them just saying one word. And you know, we've met so many people that would love to go to heaven. But you know a word that's not in their vocabulary? The word guilty. It's not in their vocabulary. No, I do the best I can, see? That word's not in their vocabulary, guilty. And you know, I tell you, you could never get saved until, my friend, you're brought in guilty before God. And oh, how sweet it is. Sweet, you say? Yes, it is. When you see a soul sit, sometimes with the tears trickling down their face. And do you know what has happened? They've taken their place. For God is with me, and I have the word to say in their defense. I remember I stayed in his home here a while ago, and I remember one night, after years of wandering and sin, I can see where he sat in the gospel hall that night, and we often talk about it when we get the opportunity. And I remember when everybody had all gone, people had all gone out, I looked at this young man. He sat with his head in his hand. The tears were trickling down on him. I put my hand on him. I said, "I'm done with." Dear Mr. Joyce was a soft man when he preached the gospel. One night after large meetings he was going down, the people were all filing out. And there was a young man sitting in the back of the hall just the same way. His head was in his hands. Tears dropping down. Mr. Joyce put his hand on him and he said, "Young man, can I help you?" He looked up. Eyes red. He couldn't help you. "Mr. Joyce, I couldn't help you." "No, sir. You couldn't help me." "You could," he said, "a little while ago." But he said, "I just trusted Christ today. And I know you didn't need any more help." Is there someone, my friend, and your greatest need tonight is the Savior? Oh, why don't you take the place of guilty? Why don't you put your hand over your mouth and say nothing more in your defense? And say, "Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost and helpless, thou canst make me whole. Whom have I in heaven or on earth like thee? Thou hast died for sinners. Therefore, Lord, for me." And do you know what? Saved before you leave this place. The sinner's silence. Oh, I tell you, that's the trouble. The sinner's silence. Nothing to say. Job says, "Yea, once have I spoken, yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. I will put my hand upon my mouth and I'll abhor myself in dust and ashes." Silent. I'm going to finish. Here's the sinner standing. He's state without God. He's silenced. He's mouth stopped and guilty before God. Reconciled to God. Oh, I tell you, how did it all come about? Listen, we say sometimes when sin first showed its ugly head and forced the widening span between the man that walked with God and God who made the man, with sense of sin came sense of shame, and they could talk to him. Instead of peace and fellowship, there came the great divide. Infinite love was wounded sore and sought to bridge the span, crush out the separating wedge and walk again with man. He sent his own beloved Son. He came. He bled, he died to reconcile. He paid the price and he bridged the great divide. Oh, tonight, my friend, listen well as my brother preaches. You could be saved tonight. You could be reconciled. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.